Thank you, Dave, and good afternoon. I hope you had a good Passover last night, meaningful. And as we know, this beginning of a new year, and you know, New Year's are important in one sense. It kind of gives our minds a feeling of a new start as well. And so it does look to me that this year could be very pitiful. It could be a very important year this year. It might be pitiful too. You know, God wants our obedience to his way of life, his law, his Ten Commandments, his principles, and ideally our obedience should come because we love God's way of life. We have a strong relationship with God, and it shouldn't come from obligation or a sense of blind obedience. God wants us to think about his way of life, and he wants us to come to agree with his way of life, with his principles, with his laws. And we know it's a struggle sometimes. We know that it's with our human nature, it can be tough. But with God's Spirit, we can continue to grow. But he does want us to agree with him. He does want us to obey because we agree with his principles. As we know, God's way of life, his law, was created for relationships. Life is about relationships, and our most important relationship is with God. So my SVS is, how do we grow in our obedience? And I'll read John chapter 14, verse 15, and it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we should fear, in a healthy way, we should fear to violate his principles, his laws. God realizes human nature. He understands it. He understands that human beings are weak. All human beings are weak in that way. And it's a battle. It's a war, as the Bible clearly points out in a number of ways. It is a battle. It's not easy. And he wants us to continue to grow, continue to think more and more like he does. I've got two main points today. And point one is, we must be aware of what obedience is and what sin is. You know, there's many, many, many good behaviors, obedience to God's way of life. Many, and the Bible brings out many of them. As I think we all realize, there are sins of commission and sins of omission. Now, the sins of commission are listed in a fairly detailed way in God's book. You know, the sins of omission are at times a little harder to get our minds around because we're all limited in our resources. I suppose if we had a few friends that would give us $1 million every other month, that would be nice, but that doesn't happen. But God does want us to think about the idea of sins of omission. Something that we should be doing and we can do and we have the resources to do, and we do. He wants us to think about that as well. The idea of, hopefully we've thought about this, the idea of a written outline for examining ourselves in every aspect of life. Whether it's in the spiritual world or whether it's things that we have to do in life. You know, it could be an exhaustive list of what, how we can pray, how we can study, the right way to fast, the right way to meditate. And then you can also cover every other aspect of life, whether it's your job, you're raising children, having a spouse. A good written list that we, on a regular basis, look at. As we know, you know, there might be, and I say might be, a sense of examining ourselves more in detail. That's probably not the best way to put it, but during Passover, there is an indication from a scripture that we are supposed to examine ourselves. That should happen every day, every week, every month. And it's a good idea to have a written list, an exhaustive written list that we look at. Look at one or two of those aspects, subjects, and just think about, am I doing what that says? Am I following my agenda for spiritual growth? Very important to write these things down. Not only study the Bible, and we should do that obviously every day, but to read good spiritual books that deal with Christian living. Because what that does, it stimulates our mind. It helps us to think about how we are going to obey God. We're all limited in our thinking. And so these books can bring up ideas and thoughts and behaviors that maybe we haven't thought about and that we need to think about and we need to apply in our lives. Reading and meditating and studying, it stimulates our thinking. And we learn that there's an awful lot of things that we have been doing that are godly. And we learn some things that we haven't been doing that maybe we should start doing. So, as we know, God gives His Spirit to those who obey Him. And that's a lifelong process. Lifelong process. We should never stop doing that. It's something that we need to do, to be diligent in doing, and thinking about how we can become more godly in our behavior, in our thinking, and how we treat people. Point number two, we must strive to stay far away from sin. Tough call sometimes, but we need to stay far away really from even the temptation to sin. There are temptations that we all have, and we know the trigger for that temptation, and it can be easy to get too close to that temptation. And if we get too close to that temptation, we're on dangerous ground already. Now, temptation is not a sin. It's not a sin, but if we let's say if we entertain or we dwell on a temptation, we've already gone too far. And it's sometimes, as the Bible indicates, there is a sin that easily besets probably every human being. We could list a number of them that are fairly common. And it's important to, in that list I mentioned a little earlier, it's good to have a list of the common and sometimes the not so common sins and problems. You know, a lot of ways, in one sense, life is a challenge. And in another sense, life is a challenge whether it's a problem, whether it's an issue, whether it's something that we have to do, life can be a challenge. And so when we have these lists and we look at them on a regular basis, it helps us to come up with a solution to those problems. But the point being here is temptation is not a sin. We're going to have some temptations because we have human nature. And carnal nature is against God's way of life. It's a struggle. And again, the closer we get to that sin, it's like a magnet. You know, if you get a magnet closer and closer to what it gets magnetized to, it gets stronger and stronger. And so it's important to, as the Bible says, flee sin. Get away from it. Don't even get close to it. And sometimes that's hard to do. And it's also, if we don't, it's dangerous. It's just a dangerous thing to do. So we need to try to do that. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13. And it says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful that he will not suffer you to be tempted above that we're able. So every temptation, God will provide a way. If we're doing our part, God will provide a way to resist that temptation. And that's a big part of growing and learning about God's way of life. And again, as we grow, as we are obedient, God will give us new insights into behavior, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And if, as we know, every insight, every thought we have is not necessarily from God. And sometimes if we have doubts about the insight, about the thought, about the behavior, it's a good idea to discuss it with several people and see what they have to say about that particular insight, if you have doubts. But God will give insights and deeper understanding as we obey. And then as we obey, then he'll give us further insight. But if we're not obeying what he's given us, then there's a general tendency for him not to give us any more insights, or at least not as many insights. So it's important to, when you get a new insight, when you get something that you haven't been doing, and you know it's a good thing to do, you have the resources to do it, then do it. And realize that God will honor that. He'll give you more insights into growing, into getting away from our carnal nature. And as Christ made it very clear, you know, one of the things, and especially during this time of the year, one of the things that we have to really worry about is the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees. That's one thing the human mind just loves to jump into. The leaven of the Pharisees. And, you know, we actually get bigger when we become smaller in our own eyes. Humility is such a foundational, fundamental element of God's way of life. And he has to know that we're teachable, that we realize we have lots to learn. I've said it before. You know, a Christian, it's sort of a paradox in a way, but a Christian that understands that he has lots to learn, that Christian, that person, will continue to learn. The more we mature, the more we will realize how little we know about Christianity. That seems to be contradictory, but it's not. It's a paradox. The more we mature, the more we realize how little we know about God's way of life, because we're gaining an insight, we're growing in obedience, we're understanding God's way of life, and it's about relationships. And one of the biggest problems that human beings have, whether it's Christians or just regular people, is that leaven of the Pharisees, and we don't like to even admit it to ourselves. We don't like to admit it. So God's got a plan. His plan, there's a scripture that indicates that we haven't even considered the things that he has for us that are going to be so incredibly wonderful. God has a plan. His imagination, his thinking, his plan, as Job learned through his ordeal, is a zillion times bigger than our plan, our thinking, our imagination. And we can imagine a lot of things, but God's imagination and thinking and his plan is a zillion times bigger than any of ours. And so it's something to look forward to. Something to look forward to. And God's the judge. God is the judge. And he will make sure that his government is ruled, whatever word you want to use, with righteous people that have grown, that are teachable, even at that point. He will make sure that life, once he comes back, is the way life should be lived, and relationships will be the key.